Welcome inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios. I'm Ashley Docking. This is Chris Meaney. This is Fantasy Sports Today. We're glad that you could join us. Joining us a little bit later will be Tony Cincotta from the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're going to talk some NBA DFS. I believe there are 10 games the hardwood tonight, so we're going to talk about building around the expensive guys. I guess stars and scrubs would be the theory, but we'll check in with Tony just a little bit later.
Loves his scrubs.
He does love his scrubs. I don't know if that's something to be known, like that's good to be known for. Look at me, I just blend right into the background here.
Just all green, nice, just all green. Head. I missed the memo. I should have wore green.
You did.
Today.
You really dropped the ball today, but you look nice. Well, I like blue on you. It looks snazzy.
Well, thanks. Look at that. I'm going to try green out tomorrow.
All right, fine. I'll wear blue. We'll just swap it up. We're going to do some MLB conversation because there's been some signings. There's been some speculation around some key guys.
Yes.
Chris Sale was a huge one the other day. Edwin Encarnacion still floating around.
Yeah, without a home.
Without a home. I think his agent really overplayed his hand, but we're going to talk about that in just a little while. For now, though, San Francisco 49ers, for better or for worse, roll in with Colin Kaepernick, week 14.
Are you going to start him? That's the big question.
I don't know. If you're listening to Howard Bender, absolutely not. He's terrible. He's watched him for the last few weeks, and he's absolutely atrocious. I don't know how anyone could have thought that he was going to be of any value to you fantasy-wise. Anyway, is that according to Howard Bender? But a lot of the people that we talked to 2 weeks ago were super high on Kaepernick.
Yeah, and you know, I understand everything that Howard said. A real-life quarterback, Colin Kaepernick, is not great. I've been watching him for years now. He so many delay-of-game penalties. He goes up to the line. He doesn't understand the play. And I've seen it so many times when this guy, he doesn't have any weapons, no one to throw to, but he still has his legs.
Yep.
And I still kind of give him a pass for that game in Chicago, which
Weather.
Was snowy. He was dealing with a little bit of a leg injury. He was even pretty vocal about it afterwards and how he didn't want to run around. And I don't really blame him. There's not much going on in that game. He dropped back 6 times. He was hurt 5 times. I don't have him as a QB1 this week. He's not somebody that I'm starting, especially fantasy football playoff time. The two leagues that I have him in, I also have Jameis Winston.
Yep.
And I feel much more comfortable rolling out Jameis Winston in a better matchup. It's hard to run on the Jets, but it's easy to pass on them. So I don't think he's going to be awful. He's like QB 14, 15 for me. And again, updated rankings will be on Fantasy Pros, but I can't see him getting any higher than that for me. The only situation I think that I could maybe think about not starting him or starting him over is Derek Carr. And Derek Carr's been pretty good, and he's carried you this way. But if you look at his numbers inside the division, it's been pretty bad. He's got a game in Kansas City on Thursday Night Football. It's going to be pretty cold.
It's gonna be a
good
game.
Got the glove issue, so I can kind of like get behind that. I have Derek Carr in around there as well, but don't get too cute here. I mean, the only people that are upset about Kaepernick is people that rolled him in DFS last week. You really are not this far with Colin Kaepernick as your quarterback. I can't imagine that. So,
and I really love that he's like, my leg hurt. I didn't want to run. This guy's looking out for his future because he's looking for a new home next year.
Sure.
He's not trying to have a fluke slip.
He doesn't
tears,
want to play for the
49ers. No one wants to play for the 49ers at this point, except maybe Kristen Michael. Maybe he'll probably take any people
revenge
that will have
this
him
week against Seattle.
Yeah, he got that's like double revenge though, because they've been back and forth.
Yeah,
they're complicated. If their relationship was a Facebook status, it's complicated.
Complicated for sure.
Jeremy Maclin has been complicating owners all season. Do you start him? Do you not? Then finally he got hurt, which for some reason seemed like a godsend, because you're like, I don't have to play him.
Yeah.
He hasn't been good. He hasn't had any big games. I think he definitely hasn't gotten over 80 yards in one game this season. The targets haven't been there, just double digit targets 2 times on the year, which is very weird because he's now in his second season with Alex Smith, so it's not as though there's reason for them not to have chemistry that they did last year. I don't like to necessarily blame someone in this situation, but if I had to point to someone who's at fault, I would probably say Maclin maybe hasn't been playing as well as we're used to seeing him.
Yeah, you're right about that, and you're right, the targets haven't been there. You really have to look at the first couple weeks of the season to see him actually be successful. 7 targets, week 2, 15 targets. The last time we saw him, he had 10 targets in a game. He just didn't do anything, Ashley, and you're right. He has been catching balls, but this is a decent matchup. I don't feel great about starting him. I have to start him in one of my matchups in a playoff spot. Mm-hmm. I just feel more comfortable. You know, I picked up Marquise Lee or Marquise Wilson. He had a donut. but yeah, it's all about him and then Tyreek Hill. It's like, who are you going to start? I think if you had a choice, if you had that option, I would lean Tyreek Hill because he's been more consistent.
Ooh.
He's got double-digit fantasy points in 6 of his last 7 games. It's not great, but he is still just being more involved. So you have to think Macklin, maybe he's not 100%. Maybe he doesn't have full, you know, snap counts is what we've used to be seeing with Jeremy Macklin. But I do think he'd be an okay fringe flex start for you if you need somebody. Like I said, this is an okay matchup, and I think he'll have some shots downfield.
I would probably go Macklin over Hill just because he's rested for 4 weeks.
Yeah, you got to think he's 100%.
They're not going to take any risks with him. He's just been going on. And just quickly, Chris, it's kind of interesting. So 9 games last season with receptions of 20 yards or more. 5 games with receptions of 30 yards or more for his longest reception of the game. 4 games this year with receptions 20 yards or more, only 1 with 30 yards or more. And some people will say, well, you know, he's not a deep threat, yada, yada, so maybe that's like cut into his numbers. 12.5 yards per catch has been his average the last 2 seasons.
Yeah.
So it's literally just, it's him, whether it's yards after carry or yards after catch, whatever it is. It's just an interesting case.
And because he used to be a deep threat guy. I mean, in Philadelphia, he had double-digit touchdowns, and Nick Foles always hooked up with him deep down the field. Same thing last year. Double-digit touchdowns, and Alex Smith sometimes, even though he can't throw the deep ball, hooked up with him down the field. So it's interesting. You got to take it with caution because he hasn't played for a while. But to your point, I think he's going to be fine and healthy, and this is a game Kansas City really needs. I feel like they should use one of their best weapons.
If I was still in the playoffs, I'd be starting him.
Yeah,
if I didn't get eliminated last week.
Like I said, I'm going to play him in one of my playoff matchups, and I hope he can get me a book.
JPP, Harrison Smith, Jaquel Jackson, all out for their respective teams. A sports hernia for JPP, and then Harrison.
That's not good news for JPP.
It is not good news for him. He just got back after demolishing his hand. I know you guys probably saw the picture of it likened to like a lump of ginger in the grocery store. So he just came back, and then he made his way back in the league, and it was fine. It wasn't even a talking point this season.
Right.
And then Jaquel Jackson has been suspended for 4 games. He plays for the Colts.
Also bad news.
Also bad news.
And if you're a Derrick Rose owner, you've been just like waiting for this day
to
happen.
This is just classic.
I don't own Derrick Rose anywhere, and I'm a Brennan Jennings owner, and I've been just hanging on to Jennings, just waiting for this to happen, because this is what we've seen from Derrick Rose now for the past few years, and it's unfortunate. His career has certainly changed from when he was an MVP to what it is right now, playing for the New York Knicks, calling them a super team. Like, what a joke. And so you don't want to even have this guy in your fantasy team because he's so inconsistent. But if you do have Rashad Jennings, we'll talk to Tony Sincotta about it. He could be a decent DFS play. Brennan Jennings, excuse me. Yeah, he could be a decent DFS play for you tonight. He's a guy that before we saw last year in a nice role with Detroit at times, and even with Orlando when guys were hurt, he could put up double digit assist numbers. Assists are really hard to come by in fantasy, especially off the waiver wire. So if you see this guy hanging around your waiver wire, even in 10 man leagues,
snatch him up. And even when Derrick Rose was dealing with all those the trial, I guess we should say, during the preseason, Jennings really played well with this New York team. So you do have that sample size to take into consideration. I will say this before we go, Derrick Rose's quote about his back spasms.
Oh,
my right side was fatigued and everything kind of quit. The right side of his body quit. Okay, so good news for Derrick Rose owners.
I told you guys not to draft this guy.
Well, you're pretty great, Chris. And then we're going to hear what you have to say about some of these MLB trades and signings coming up on the other side of the break. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Thanks for sticking around. Chris Meaney, Ashley Docking here with you with some MLB talk. The winter meetings got underway this week after the CBA was all signed away. Everything was taken care of. There's too much money to lose in this league. They can't not have a CBA. $9 billion up for grabs. Everyone's got to be happy. So they made it happen, and then things started to move, and most notably, Chris Sale was traded from the White Sox to the Red Sox.
Changing socks,
did some laundry, and now he is in the starting rotation with David Price, Rick Porcello, the Cy Young winner for 2016. In return, 4 pieces went to the White Sox, including Yoan Moncada and Michael Kopech. We'll get into those guys in a second, but talk to me a little bit about Chris Sale. What can we expect, and do you think that this is a good fit, a good move for the Red Sox rotation?
Yeah, it certainly is. This is something that I thought maybe the Red Sox would do last year, you know, when they had one more year of, you know, Ortiz, Big Poppy, and go all in. And now, you know, David Ortiz is gone from the team. But this is a good move. Dave Dombrowski, he always, like, he's a gunslinger, man. This guy always pulls the trigger. He lives in the moment now. And that's what I like. I love teams taking shots. Like, the Red Sox are full of prospects.
Yes.
Get into Moncada in a little bit. Kopech as well, but as you said. But these guys are full of prospects, so they
and
can afford
ones.
To make a move. And good ones, top tier. Moncada is the number one prospect in baseball, so it takes a lot to get a guy like Chris Sale. There's not too many pitchers in the league that I would rather have, like Kershaw. After that, you start thinking about Chris Sale. I mean, Scherzer's good too, gives up a lot of bombs. One thing that Chris Sale doesn't do is give up a lot of home runs. And he's staying in the American League, but he's changing divisions. Look, his combined record against Toronto, the O's, the Rays, the Yankees.
Yes.
Inside the division last year, he went 6-0, 1.55 ERA. Opponents hit 181 off him. He had a .82 whip. Those numbers are fantastic.
Those numbers are phenomenal.
He's got a great offense behind him to give him some run support, something that Chicago didn't do a lot of, score runs for him. I understand he's a little bit of a head case. He cut up his jerseys. He cut up a White Sox jersey. Now he has reason to do that. But he's going to go to a much better organization. And I don't want to just put all this heat on the White Sox, but the Red Sox are just a better organization for him. And they got him for another 3 years, too. So it's a good move. They got a great rotation that they didn't anyways with Porcello, Cy Young winner, and Price, and now Sale, two lefties, strong lefties at the top of the rotation. So good move for the Red Sox. They're going all in. And a good move for the White Sox, too, because
they're building for their future.
They got some nice pieces for a guy who was kind of like a troubled player inside their clubhouse with some issues with management and the community. So it's a decent move for them to go ahead and get some nice pieces for a guy that they had to really trade.
Let's get into some of those pieces. Yoan Moncada is someone that we've been talking about a lot this morning here in the office. And earlier on Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Greg Sussman, Scott Engel, Corey Parsons, Tony Cincotta, they spoke with Nick Hostetler. He is the director of amateur scouting for the Chicago White Sox, and they talked to him about Moncada and what he sees in this young prospect. So here's what he had to say.
The way that we've evaluated Johan, he was our number one guy as far as how we evaluate the minor leagues. We felt the same way a lot of those publications did. The power speed combo. But our plan with him is we're going to start him in AAA. Should everything stay the course, I don't see him starting in the big leagues with us. He's going to play second base. His tool package is unmatched, and it's in minor league baseball. It's impact. It's star, and he has the personality of a guy that can handle some star. He's slashy. There's some substance to him. Dude's got some swag.
He's got some swag. I like that. I don't mind that at all.
You gotta have swag, Ashley.
Especially, it's so hard to come up through the minor league system in the MLB, yeah. And you want someone that has confidence in their skills as a younger guy. So they seem really high on him, and he said in their eyes, he was the number one prospect in their organization, and as you mentioned, the number one prospect in baseball.
I know
as
that
well.
Board always looks like he's wearing lipstick, but Moncada is for real. I mean, a lot of comparisons to Robinson Cano. I don't actually believe that he'll start the year. AAA. And maybe he will. Maybe he'll start the first couple weeks. But it won't take long. I mean, listen, we're talking about Brett Laurie here being at second base for the White Sox, Tim Anderson at third or at shortstop. They got Tim Frazier at third, who's also involved in some rumors. This is a team certainly rebuilding, looking for some young pieces. And I think Moncada is just that good. I mean, this guy found plate appearances and time with the Red Sox last season for a team who's pretty star-studded all around at every single position. So I think he won't stay in AAA too long. And he's somebody that you're going to want to draft and keep her in dynasty leagues. He's got to be up the ranks as well because he is a stud. And for Kopech, this guy hit 105 miles an hour on the gun. He can throw hard and throw heavy, so we got a nice return. I love this time of the season for baseball, all these moves happening.
Well, Yoenis Cespedes really likes this time of the year because he just signed a contract for $110 million. 4 years returning to the Mets. It was reports that he was going for a 5-year contract but settled for 4 with a bump in the money. He has the highest average annual value ever for an outfielder, and what this meant for the Mets is that they were shopping Jay Bruce.
Yeah.
They were looking
and the Grandy man.
And Curtis Granderson, but newest reports were saying that Granderson was not actually made available by the Mets. He's a free agent in 2018, with Jay Bruce being a free agent at the end of next season, 2017. Yeah. So obviously, if you're going to look to trade, you want the guy who's old. You only have 1 year on.
Yeah, there's some
gets the loaner in return.
Some rumors. You know, the market is pretty extreme for relievers. Mm-hmm. and that's what the Mets were looking to get. And I think they've decided that they just don't want to give away 25 to 30 home runs in Granderson for, you know, a reliever. I don't really blame them. Those home runs are hard to come by, especially with their star-studded pitching staff that they have. But as for Cespedes, I mean, his value doesn't really change all that much to me. I mean, he's hit 30-plus home runs in back-to-back seasons. He's a stud. He is what he is. The average is really not around 300, 290, what I've seen. He's more of a 270 hitter, I believe. So, but, I mean, he's just like what he was last year. He goes the same spot in drafts. He's fine. I think maybe if we do see Bruce and Granderson do leave, that certainly hurts the offense, because this is not a fantastic offense, especially if they're going to lose two of those guys.
Well, when Edwin Encarnacion saw that Cespedes was getting $110 million, his eyes probably went, But I think that Mr. Paul Kinzer, who's his agent, should probably reduce the percentage amount that he gets once Edwin Encarnacion signs his contract.
You're blaming him, eh?
I'm not saying it's his fault, but I'm saying that potentially he could have advised him that his market value was a bit stronger than it actually was. The Jays offered him 4 years, $80 million. He wanted a five-year contract. Right now, offers coming in 3 years, $60 million, so a lot less than he thought he was going to get. As you said about the Red Sox pulling the trigger, the Jays wasted no time. You don't want to sign with us? Fine. Kendrys Morales, boom.
Yeah.
A week two later, Steve Pierce, boom. Sorry, Edwin, you're gone, and now he's kind of floundering in the market.
Yeah, and you know what? He's a big bat, so wherever he goes, it's going to be certainly interesting. There's a lot of teams, as you saw on the board, Houston, the Astros, interested in him. They've been making some moves already so far in the winter meetings, even before, with a couple signings and a couple trades. We could even see Evan Gattisley from that team, and if that happens, that opens up the door for Edwin, who's a great DH, and that's what Evan Gattis will probably do a lot of in Houston. But so rumors, reports that he wants 3 years, $60 million, and teams are not willing to do that. I heard the Cleveland Indians were close. You know, as of yesterday, there were some reports that they were extremely close to signing this guy. So maybe Texas Rangers. Before we came on, Ian Desmond signed a contract with Colorado. Now, that's a big bat that Texas is losing. So maybe they go ahead and fork up some money for Edwin. He's obviously going to sign somewhere. But if he stays inside the American League, he's still like a lock to hit like 30 home runs and 100 RBIs, no matter what team he's on.
No matter what.
No matter what.
We'll see about that, won't we, Edwin? Paul Kinzer, give me a break. Well, greedy.
Times are changing for the Blue Jays.
That's what happens when you get greedy. Yeah, the Blue Jays, they're going to be fine. They're going to be just fine. I'm not worried about
inside that division.
They'll finish fourth?
In that division.
That's what you think?
Yeah.
Heard it here first. That's what I was going to say. Stamp it, seal it.
We'll talk about it in 6 months.
We're going to talk to Tony Cincotta a little sooner than 6 months. He's coming up next. NBA DFS on FSD. This is Fantasy Sports Today, and it's time for NBA DFS with my long-lost friend and sporadic co-host, Tony Cincotta. Hello, my friend. It's been ages since I've spoken to you.
Actually, the one negative being on this side away from you, I can't check out your shoes from over here.
I'm wearing some winter boots today, Tony. Nothing glamorous about that.
Boots, right up to the knees. Got a zipper on them, nice gold zipper.
Here we go. He actually works at Browns, apparently. Chris, he's an Aldo guy.
Oh man, Tony, you're not wrong. She's rocking a new pair of kicks like every day. It's nice.
It's impressive. Thank you. We're here to talk about basketball, not my kicks, guys.
They also have good shoes.
They do have good shoes in the NBA, but sometimes that doesn't get you fantasy points. There's no categories for that. There's no categories for highlights either. There's only categories for your statistics.
Yes, listen, Tony, there's no Westbrook tonight. I mean, what do you do? There's no Westbrook. I also want to know your strategy. I mean, you just continue to play this guy every single night to get to like 15 Gs.
You know what the funny part is that everybody looks to get six times the player's value in a tournament, and that's the recipe for success. Well, six times three is only 18. So if you take a minimum salary guy, even if they get 18, you're still not going to get it done. If Russell Westbrook comes six times 12 is 72, he comes a little short at 68, you're going to be okay there. But if a guy puts up 14, you're not. So I think people have gotten carried away, and I keep playing Russell Westbrook. They say, when do you stop? I don't know. Like, I put a figure in my head, 14 or 15,000.
Can't stop, won't stop. Yeah. And why would you? You trust him more than James Harden night to night, I would guess, eh?
James Harden tonight, though, has got the matchup that we all love in this one. Anytime you face the Lakers and the upstyle Luke Walton, he's done a great job turning the team around, but they can't play defense still, and they don't care about playing defense because it's showtime in L.A. Yeah. They want to get up and down the court. Harden is the guy tonight that you have to have in your lineups.
What about Paul George? Recently back into the lineup, he's been in and out. Is this somebody that you trust tonight?
Yeah, his salary has dropped.
Yeah.
So he's hit 32 minutes his last game. He's $7,400 on some sites, $7,800 on DraftKings, $8,300 on FanDuel. So I would take the $7,800 on DraftKings, much like Carmelo Anthony last night, who was underpriced at $7,500. You can get a great bang for your buck. And unlike Carmelo Anthony, Paul George can get me some rebounds, get me some assists, and a couple steals.
And I know that, generally speaking, everyone sees the Warriors, and they're like, ooh, you don't really want to go against the Warriors. But they don't play any defense. Talking about the Pacers game, I know Klay went off for 60. Everyone's talking about that. They scored like 140 or something. The Pacers still scored 106 points, which means there's tons of fantasy value to go around for everyone. Are you targeting anyone in that Clippers game?
You know what's one of the craziest things is the Clippers have been very good defensively this year, but I don't know if I buy that. Chris Paul's price is underpriced tonight. Mm-hmm. I think Blake Griffin could go against Draymond Green and make things happen there. Green's an undersized big man playing there against Blake Griffin, so you could go with those two options, I think, in that game. And the $8,500 in both guards, Chris Paul and Stephen Curry, mm-hmm. is underpriced tonight. Chris Paul used to be a good defender, but he's in the middle of the league right now. He's not the same guy he was 3 years ago.
Yeah, and to mention Golden State's defense, I mean, Bogut is really underrated. Like, having him not there is... Zaza Pachulia is not a great defender.
I think it might have been Wall that came out and was like, it makes a huge difference. It's so much easier for us guards to get in the paint.
Yeah,
like, you're no longer scared about going, like, in on the Warriors.
He's a rim protector. Yeah, he's pretty solid. Talk to me about the Greek Freak, because I'm looking here at fantasy points per game. 50.1. He's $9,800. Harden's averaging 9 more points than him per game. He's almost $2,000 more. I know sometimes it's matchup dependent, but the Greek Freak sometimes, obviously, you see his numbers there. This guy can flirt with triple doubles. Like, he can just touch every single category.
In any matchup, he's going to have a 5 or 6 inch advantage over the defender. And tonight, Damon Lillard's not one of the greatest defenders. If they go CJ McCollum, he's not one of the greatest defenders against him. So he's going to give up the 5 or 6 inches. These guys are not credible defensively. I think the sky's the limit, and the price is right. When you look at Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's not the big price of these guys, Russell Westbrook. He's not the price of James Harden. And they don't score as many points as those guys. But when you drop $2,000 or $3,000 down and do the math, he's right there with them.
Let's talk value, Tony, because one, Derrick Rose, the right side of his body quit. That's what he said. The right side of his body just gave up in life. So that means it could be a Brandon Jennings evening, I would imagine.
Yeah, Brandon Jennings can play. And this was a big sign in the offseason that went underreported, because he's a guy that could play both the shooting guard and the point guard, and can be, a lot of people look at him as being the starting guard. On FanDuel, he has a ridiculous price of $4,000 against Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving plays no defense at all. Like, it's a ledge defense with him at the point guard. So I would absolutely put him in. And tonight, at $4,000, he's going to deliver you 30 fantasy points. If he gets the start in 30 minutes, there's no doubt in my mind he brings home 30 fantasy points.
Yeah, I think he's a must play. It doesn't get any cheaper than that on FanDuel, $4,000. And Ashley and I talked at the top of the show about some of the numbers that he puts together when he's the guy. And we've seen him before just be the guy. He can get you double-digit assists, too, if you need them off the waiver wire in season-long leagues. Talk to us about some more values. There are some other guys that are in around that price that you feel are a good, solid play.
The Brooklyn Nets should be a team you target every night in fantasy, right? They are absolutely pitiful defensively. Will Barton's a guy that has no conscience. He can go 0-for-7 and he'll just keep throwing the ball up and he'll keep firing the ball. And these are guys you love in daily fantasy. He's averaging 14.5 points per game, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. Most guys the shooting guard just shoot. They don't contribute to the other categories. He can go across the board in an up-tempo Denver offense. I think you got to look at this guy tonight for sure. I also like Ryan Anderson in that game against the Lakers. He's a definite tournament play. He could throw up 6 3-pointers, get you 20 points, get you 8 rebounds, 5 assists, or he might just go 1-for-9 and get you 6 points and 2 rebounds, and then you're stuck. But you can go to bed early if that happens. I also like Aaron Gordon. The Celtics don't defend big men well, and this guy's only $4,200 tonight. He's a guy that can get up and down the court, he can run the wing, and he's a big body. I think the Celtics have problems with him tonight, and the Orlando Magic have put together a couple good games in a row. They weren't scoring a couple weeks ago. Now they put two games over 100 in a row. I'll go with Aaron Gordon at 4,200. That price is ridiculous.
That sounds like a good price. Tony, your information is also ridiculous. We love having you on the show. We got to get out of here. Maybe give a wave to everyone watching. Thanks for coming on.
Pat Mayo, you got to fall in line.